Hello, everyone. Welcome to the first episode of Game Junk Reviews. And we'll be reviewing The Last of Us Part 2, a masterpiece, supposedly, that everyone has been anticipating the review for. This is hopefully going to be a new break-off series for Game Junk. I guess I'll say it's August 1st, 2020, 2 months after the game come out, approximately. So we're right on the pulse. This is getting back to old style Game Junk, where we're a little behind, but that's okay. And my name is Frank.
My name is Sean.
And my name is Andrew.
And for this special event, a first episode, we have a special guest, Scott, who you would probably know from the Film Junk podcast, is joining us, who has completed The Last of Us Part 2. Hello, Scott.
Hello, thanks for having me.
This is perhaps the earliest recording of a podcast in filmjunk.com history, beginning at 10:30 in the a.m. Scott worked very late last night. What time you went to bed? 4 o'clock?
Yeah, Something somewhere like that. Then.
I was around 5 a.m. So Frankie's wired. I'm ready to go.
Frank's got a very important job. He had to stay up to 5.
Either way, I am wired. I am pretty excited for this, and I wouldn't say I have copious notes, but I have some notes. And I will say, this is a full spoiler review. If you don't want spoilers, or you a spoiler-free review, that is not going to happen. We're going to dig into everything. To not talk about spoilers when reviewing The Last of Us 2 is basically reviewing The Last of Us 1, which is a 7-year-old game, and I would direct everyone to the Tim Rogers action button review of The Last of Us 1, which I watched recently, which is amazing. His reviews are the greatest. If you're not watching those, you got to check them out. You guys watch any of those?
Spoilers for The Last of Us 1 are also probably going to happen on this podcast.
Sean, take it easy, bud. they can figure that out. All right. So
I haven't watched too much Tim Rogers other than that one video you sent me. I got
1994 reviewed.
Yeah, it was good. It was long, but it was good.
Yeah, that's amazing. Long form, hilarious reviews. All right. Without further ado, let's get into it. The Last of Us 2 is developed by Naughty Dog. It's a pretty divisive game on the Metacritic charts and a lot of controversy surrounding it. I don't get it, to be perfectly honest, but it's the follow-up to the smash hit The Last of Us, and probably the most anticipated game of the last 2 or 3 years, I would say, until Cyberpunk. but we're going to start this one off with Scott. We've all talked about it at varying lengths on the Game Junk podcast. So, Scott, you're the guest. What did you think of The Last of Us Part 2?
Well, it is a lot of pressure going first here, and I apologize if I fall asleep, but I will do my best. I was a big fan of the first one. I completed it when it first came out on PS3. Rebought it, of course, remastered, because that's what I got to do.
Yep.
And was very much looking forward to playing the part two, as I wasn't kind of playing video games as much these days. Last time, kind of say we talked, I told you I was playing little sporadic games on the Switch or something like that. So I never really dug into anything with some substance until pretty much Last of Us 2 came out. So
I may add, Scott is a horror head. He loves horror stuff. So this is probably up his alley. And he's also a huge fan of Japan. And so, like, this is two games back-to-back, Last of Us Part 2 and Ghost of Tsushima, that probably have just rekindled, a lust that was buried deep inside him for video games.
I definitely have played a lot more lately than I have. I can tell you, and you guys play stuff regularly, it's hard playing two games one after the other and not want to compare the two. And that was the one issue I was having with Ghost of Tsushima there. So I know we're not talking about that, but I mean, we could touch on that after. I don't remember the last time I've completed a game. So to complete Last of Us 2 to me is a feat. You guys have said a lot about it over the last few, few shows there. I loved it. I was immersed in the story. I don't see the faults that some of you guys might see in technical feats or what have you. Or
well, there are technically no technical flaws with the game. So
right from a expert perspective, if you will, because I'm not from that field. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I was sweating at times at certain moments because I was totally into it. I'd want to watch every cut scene that came up. I found it dragged a little bit in the center of the game, but I wanted it to keep progressing and I didn't want it to end. And you guys have talked about things like techgasms or what have you. It was an absolutely beautiful looking game. So I was happy to dig in and go through it. I am a horror head, so I did enjoy it. I don't remember jumping at anything or what have you, but it was...
Were you using a trophy guide by any chance?
No.
Oh, okay. Right.
The only thing I cheated with the safes. I didn't feel the need to look up any of the codes. So... that's the only thing I really kind of cheated with. But the one thing about a game like this, though, and as I've found as I've gotten a little bit older, I do not want to go on the hardest setting. So I put it on a lower setting. I enjoyed my time. I don't even remember how long it took me to get through it. I didn't have to dig through every corner, but I flowed through the game pretty nicely. And, yeah, I had a great time with it. I was kind of bummed out when it ended.
It ended
literally the day before Ghost of Tsushima came out, so it was kind of perfect timing.
Absolutely. And I gotta say, I'm gonna touch on two things there. One, I think we would all agree, I'm putting words in your mouth, it is the best looking game ever made. I can't think of anything that even comes close.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
Microsoft
beautiful.
Flight Simulator comes out.
Sorry?
So Microsoft Flight Simulator comes out.
Yeah, but even then, I don't think it's technically incredible and artistically incredible. Like, the combination of the two, I don't think anything else compares. There might be better technical graphics on things, but they do not have, like, the composition and the lighting that this game has. So, like, combining the two, no game has ever looked better, in my opinion. And I'm saying in your opinions either. and second, with difficulty level with The Last of Us Part II, that is kind of a weird thing with the series in general, because... if you're like me and you end up scrounging for everything anyway, difficulty doesn't play that big of a factor, I don't think. Like, I've played the original on basically three difficulty settings a month and a half ago. Normal, survivor, and easy to clean up some trophy stuff. And really, the biggest difference is how many supplies you find. So if you're looking in everything anyway... there's like some hard sections that you have to do over and over again on the harder difficulties. But I mean, a clicker still kills you right away, pretty much on any setting. So there's not a huge discrepancy there compared to other games, I would say.
I wanted to quickly touch on the difficulty just because I noticed some interesting stuff they were doing in terms of dynamic difficulty stuff, because I played on normal. There was definitely some sections I was dying a lot. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there is a few times where, you know, say there's like five enemies you got to get through. And like, I was dying over and over. And then all of a sudden I would get through the section and there'd be four enemies instead of five. And I'd be like, huh, that's kind of weird. I thought there were five enemies here. And like, I think they're doing stuff behind the scenes, because actually there's, if you look at the settings, I don't know how much you delved into this, Frank, but there's like a million sliders you can turn up and down on different aspects of the game when it comes to difficulty. And I like that, but I'm also of the mind where I'm like, I want that sort of like whatever the default setting is that the developers think this is the way to play the game. I kind of want to try to play it that way.
Did you change any of those sliders?
I didn't change anything.
Then you were playing the default experience. Do you want to know what was happening? What I think was happening?
What?
If you kill enemies and there's like no imminent threat, it checkpoints within enemy groups.
Well, I was going to say they did. It seemed to me they changed some of the checkpointing a bit from the first game. Now, I don't know if I'm crazy on this. Okay, Frank's already. It seemed to me like there were more checkpoints. You know, it felt to me in the first game like you had to kill that group of enemies before you get the checkpoint. Whereas in this one, if you killed one enemy, but you kind of got into a safe zone for a minute or two, it would save. But it seemed to me like that happened more often with Ellie than with Abby. And I don't know why that would be. But it just, like, when I started playing with Abby and she had more firepower and I was like, oh, this is going to be more of an action thing and it's going to be easier to mow through these zombies. But then it kind of didn't go that way. It actually felt harder in points.
Well,
and, like, she doesn't have the knife.
The instant knife, right? Like, Abby is basically Joel in this game, right? Like, the same moveset. Now, both games had checkpointing within enemy groups, but there definitely could have been improvements to decide when to do those checkpoints and to make it a bit easier, because I think there are more areas in this game with large amounts of enemies. Like, there was the bookstore in the first one and a couple spots that, you know, you're looking at 20 enemies. Specifically in Pittsburgh, there was a lot of areas like that in the first game, so... that tends to happen more often. I do find the pacing is a little different with this game, where it's a lot of combat at once, followed by a lot of exploration, where I think maybe the size of those chunks in the first game were a little smaller. I don't really have a preference, and it could be in my head, to be perfectly honest, but I don't know. Difficulty-wise, I found it about the same, I think. Hawk, what are you thinking here? You haven't chimed in yet.
I've played through it twice. I played through the first time on moderate, which I think is technically normal. And I felt it was just right. I haven't played the original probably for 7 years. So I can't really remember about the checkpointing. I did feel like they were more generous and were able to kind of like, if you got too far ahead, they would checkpoint you. Or if you, I felt also the combat areas were more broken up. I'm thinking of a lot in like the Seattle town areas where it almost seemed like there was multiple levels. By levels there, I mean like height wise, where you would actually kind of traverse down into different areas. And I felt
the TV station was like that a lot, right?
The which one?
When you go into the TV station and kind of work your way up and then back down and...
Yeah, that too, yeah. So, I mean, I felt like if you were to run ahead and get to, like, one of the lower areas, it would checkpoint you down there, even if you hadn't cleared out the top. I think those enemies would still be there, but they were less of a threat because they were on a different level. But I felt moderate was just right. It took me 26 hours. Now, I scoured everywhere and tried to find everything. I didn't want to leave any of the vitamins or the screws around or any of the stuff if I could find it. And then on my second playthrough, I just did a trophy cleanup and I played on very easy and it took me about 12 hours. I skipped all the cinematics and
interesting.
And so it was much faster to go through the second time. Now I am interested to go back and play on Survivor or whatever the highest level is, because I found that on moderate I didn't find it too difficult, but I found myself fighting to completion almost every encounter area, whereas when I was playing on very easy I was sneaking around almost everything and avoiding combat in almost every fight situation because I was just trying to get through as fast as I could. And I enjoyed that method. I felt it was really neat. Now, I did find that the enemies, it seemed like their vision cones and everything were a lot, it was a little more spongy, you know, like they wouldn't see you even if they were standing right beside you. Whereas moderate, I felt like I couldn't get away with some of the stuff I got away with on very easy. So I think that's where they're going to ramp up the difficulty. I think on Survivor, they'll be seeing you a lot easier. You won't really be able to sneak. You'll have to be very deliberate with all your sneaking. I don't know. Has anyone here tried it on Survivor or one of the higher ones?
Well, I'm assuming if it's not this game, but if it's anything like the first, and this gets back to some stuff Sean was saying about dynamic difficulty, like this is where the Survivor difficulty is a bit of an issue for me, where it's about surviving and finding whatever you can and using it, but the game still has to be finishable. And so if you decide to use guns more, enemies randomly drop ammunition when you need it. And it's not just about what you find. The game is making sure you're not going to get stuck, which
Why I think they are definitely doing some things behind the scenes that you might not be aware of. And I think it's kind of subtle because they don't want you to know that they're helping you a little bit along the way. But I think you have to with a game like this. So I was kind of impressed by that aspect of it. I don't know how many people playing it would really pick up on it, but it seemed like there was something going on there.
That's always what Naughty Dog's done, though, like with the Uncharted series, for example. It just holds your hand, which is good for somebody like me that doesn't play all the time. I need that. I want that because I can't. I tried Bloodborne, and I remember just running into walls all the time of death, and I just gave up because I'm like, I can't even do it. So
I feel like Uncharted holds your hand a little more though, because they envisioned as more of like a blockbuster movie kind of experience. And I think it's interesting. Like, I didn't try any of the easier difficulty levels with The Last of Us Part Two, but I assume, and this is kind of what you're saying, Frank, it still has to feel like you're scrounging and you're just kind of getting by, because that's the whole point of the game. So if you just made it so that you can just blow away zombies left and right, like, that's not what this game is. Mm-hmm. So it's tough for them to balance that, but they seem to have done it.
I think they do a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, I didn't notice, playing on very easy, I didn't notice that the enemy health was like drastically lower. It was mostly just their perception and their awareness of you in the environment. You could get away with a lot more. And I found, like, if you decide to run away, like, they would lose track of you almost instantly. Whereas I felt on moderate, they could track you for a bit longer. I also remember, like, the dogs specifically being able, they seem to get my scent a lot easier in moderate than on very easy. And very easy, they almost never detected me, even if I was fairly close to them. Whereas, So I think that's how they're scaling it. Just enemies are, you know, more realistic in what they can see. And I think that really, you know, is very realistic in that it feels engaging no matter what difficulty you're on. I think they did a really good job in that regard.
I'm debating what we should talk about next that little thing. Like systems, new systems in The Last of Us Part Two, or the story? Because to me,
I stick with gameplay for now.
Okay.
So let's
get into new systems. Some of which, there was a state of play featuring The Last of Us Part Two, I think in May, something like that. But they were touting some new systems. So as Huck mentioned, the dog system of like smelling you and hiding your scent.
Did not like the dog.
I mean, honestly, it really doesn't come into play very often. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. They talked about open areas, of which there's really one big open area with all the buildings in Seattle. I'm kind of glad there was only one. Not that I didn't like it per se, but I like the streamlined version of this game better, even though I love the way they handled the map in that. And like visiting buildings and putting writing on the map and all that stuff. I thought that was great. I guess there's the other new mechanic. Honestly, the new mechanics are the weakest part of the game, in my opinion. Getting an arrow in you and pulling it out is a new mechanic, I remember.
That almost never happened to me.
I know.
Other than that tutorial. I think I had it happen one other time on both of my playthroughs.
The new mechanic I'm a fan of, and it's a subtle new mechanic, is the idea of, and this is totally in line with Naughty Dog and how they evolve their shooting systems, getting shot and then choosing whether to get up or not, like whether you stay on the ground and fire and
kind of being able to shoot from your back.
Yes, I love that. I think that is a perfect evolution of the mechanics of this game into a next gen or a next iteration of the game. And I can't think of too many more off the top of my head. Again, it's been a while since I finished it, but the worst mechanic in the game, and this will tie into story for me as well, is as you progress along the game, when you get to a group of enemies and it's the last enemy of a group, all of a sudden it's like this mini cutscene where the person's like, no, don't kill me. And you have to like walk up to them and it's like putting the weight of the kill for the last kill and building into this theme of violence, which in my opinion is a complete failure in the game. And we'll get into this more, but the idea that all of a sudden now you're thinking, yeah, I just killed 20 people, loved it. Bloodlust, didn't care. Now I have to I have to think about whether or not I want to kill this last person. First of all, you can't think about it. You have to kill them. And like, you
know, it's weird because that only happened to me once. And when it happened, I was like, oh, like I thought it was like a story moment. And so like I was waiting. I didn't want to kill them because I was like, oh, there must be some payoff to this. And then I walk away and they just get back up and start shooting me again.
It probably happened to you more than once. And you might even not realize it, because if you don't do anything, either they die. I thought they died in some scenarios, or maybe they get up. I don't know. I killed them right away. I'm too good. I'm like, kill you, dude. But either way, I mean, that to me is an interesting idea. But as a game designer, where it's a complete failure to me, there is no economy related to it. All these ideas of, you know, whether or not you decide to kill or let someone live, or how gratuitous violence is taking a toll on the characters, you need some kind of game economy to do that. Like, whether it's a soul system, or I won't say sanity, but some kind of system. And I'm not saying you need a meter. Like, it can be a hidden economy, but there has to be some impact to that in the game. And like giving perhaps the player more choice on how to do that. And if someone played like Huck, where they avoided stuff because they didn't want to kill people, you know, different endings or something that, because I know this game is about violence, or it claims to be about violence and the impacts of violence. And you have an interactive story, and you are not taking advantage of the fact that it's interactive to do interesting things with that. And I just think that's kind of a failure. And to me, that is, if you were going to say what the goal of this game was, from a developer's perspective, aside from like being a blockbuster game and making a lot of money, I think the story people would say it's about the impacts of violence. And I don't think the systems support that. I don't think the story supports that. I think they were close. I think there were opportunities to do that, but they chickened out overall. And we'll get into more reasons in the story why I think that. Doesn't mean I think it's a bad game, but we are holding Naughty Dog to another level when it comes to story. And if they want to take this mantle of the best storytellers in games, I've said it before, they're opening themselves up to more criticism with flaws, character flaws, and motivation in their stories and their interactive storytelling. So we'll get into more of that stuff. And I just remembered one more system, which to me is the best system in the game, although I had loftier expectations to where it went, the guitar system, which is pretty incredible and starts off very strong. And I love that. So if anyone wants to touch on any of those systems or other systems that I missed, let's talk systems.
I want to talk about the combat you just were talking about and the economy part of it. And I actually, on my first playthrough, I had a real trouble with this because I did want to try to stealth through it as much as I could. And I was getting no reward for it if I did do it successfully. And I was worried that I would basically be missing the vitamins and the screwdriver stuff, and the screws and the bolts and the journals. Now, the journals weren't as big of a deal because they're not really as much as a, you know, gameplay impactful thing.
I just got it's parts and supplements. Let's. Parts I don't want you to have to keep saying screwdrivers. That's all.
Oh, whatever. It's like nuts and bolts.
No, for the vitamins, it's
vitamins. Yeah,
supplements.
But the thing is, I was on my first playthrough. I wanted to sell through, but I didn't know if they were placing the parts and supplements in those combat arenas. Yeah. So I felt obligated to search all around, and by searching all around, it's exposing me to more combat, which doesn't really help my case. And then if I stealth ahead and miss all that stuff, then at the end game I'm punished because now I've gained less of the upgrade trees and I have less, you know, I can't craft as many arrows or whatever else I need to do. So I'm kind of penalized for doing the stealth.
It sounds like this game is better with a trophy guide so you know where you can decide to do that stuff.
Yeah. Now, I must say, after using the trophy guide, there wasn't too much of that stuff in the combat arenas. But going into it, you don't know that. So a lot of my time was just exploring everything. And I do feel that the exploration part of this game is really cool. Like, the environments are so lush. You really feel like you are in this environment. And I was drawn in completely. And I just felt like that little bit of trying to get all the extra stuff took me out of that a little bit, which is where it kind of fell down a bit for me. I still really liked it, but just that part of it I didn't like. And if they could have – but I don't know. Also, having those encourages you to explore. So like on my new game plus, I was just running through these places and not really getting the same feel that I got on my first playthrough because I wasn't exploring. There was that element of mystery that first time where I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I would find. And it's a tricky balance, though, and I don't know how they would fix it. I don't know if you guys have any ideas, but...
I mean, just on the stealth thing, I that was something, having gone back and played the first one, and I wasn't very good at it initially when I had played that game, but I learned to get better at the stealth stuff. So then coming into this game, I wanted to do more stealth stuff, but I just, yeah, I found like it wasn't really working for me. And then they, you know, we mentioned the dogs, they start throwing enemies at you that make it hard to do the stealth thing. Like that's one of the reasons I didn't like the dog, because it just suddenly now there's an added element of stress where it's like you can't just sneak around because this thing's going to find you. And like, I get it, it's a new wrinkle and they don't do it that much, but I also just didn't like having to kill the dogs.
There is a teaching teaching moment with the dogs, though, where I think the intention with the dogs, even though I didn't do it that much, is to use distractions more. Because when you see the dog, you're supposed to throw something to distract it. Because honestly, I don't use the distraction stuff like throwing bottles and bricks much when I'm playing the game. I feel like it's more valuable to have in my hand. So I felt like the dogs were an attempt to incentivize throwing and distraction.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, I was also going to mention, so there's a couple new zombie types, and one of them is the stalker, I think. Are those the ones that you can't use your listen mode with? Which I did, again, was like, I get it. It makes the game, it's a new wrinkle. It's a little more interesting, but it just annoyed me and kind of seemed to go against some of the stuff that I had been taught up to that point. But I mean, there were a couple others like, what was the really big new zombie type?
Oh, well, they amped up the bloater and they added like an intermediate zombie, called, oh, this is embarrassing. I'm sweating.
Shambler? Yeah.
Shambler. The Shambler, baby.
Yeah, they're okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other...
You mentioned the rope mechanic.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's... Out of all the systems, that's probably... Oh, and the breaking window system, which I think is really strong, too. So we've got...
Well, there's another one you missed. Was the tall grass and just the being prone.
Oh, yeah. That's your prone, yeah. Good one. Yeah, there's lots I missed. Don't worry about that. There's even more. I thought there was another one I thought of, too. Scotty's back. Zoomed in.
I'm back. No clue how this works. No clue.
Yeah, so the different enemies. Although, one of the best enemies... to me is the new boss, which like the first game didn't have that many bosses, mostly like a cinematic fight with David, I think. But that boss fight was really cool and one of the highlights of the game for me.
Was that the hospital one?
Yeah, like the kind of the yeah. where the it's a two-part boss where something spawns out of it, and I thought that was really really creepy, really well done. Felt a bit Resident Evil-y, to be honest, but I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
You could almost call the sniper section a bit of a boss fight too, in a little different way, but
yeah. That well, are you talking about the one where you're with? Why can't I think of his name? Jesse?
The parking garage?
Yeah, the parking garage area.
Oh, okay.
It's Tommy.
Okay, I'm sorry. So, and then there's the other Tommy one, which is... Okay. So, remind me to get back to the rope stuff, but the other... There's a lot of one-off mechanics, not that Left Behind and Last of Us 1 didn't do this as well, but like the snowball fight, using the dart gun in the aquarium, right. And... One of my favorite moments in the game, although I was really hoping for like a climactic section where you use those skills, was doing long distance sniping, where you had to like have the bullet fall when you're shooting at zombies on the hills. And I thought that was going to come back towards the end of the game for sure, and was kind of disappointed when it was just that one section.
Yeah, you could do that in some of the areas, but there definitely wasn't anything that was sort of like set up for you to do that.
So while we're talking about enemies and stuff, and I'm curious what Scott thinks about this, it did feel to me, maybe not by the end, but there were long stretches where it felt like the zombies were pretty secondary. And I get that. I think this move or this game is more about revenge and the human factions and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's hard to have feelings about violence. If and that's another reason why I think that's what the story's about, when you're killing zombies that don't feel like you're killing someone. And I guess the failure is it also doesn't feel like I'm killing humans until they beg for their life twice in the game.
There were moments when I'm like, oh, you know, it's a quiet downtime in the game and I hope there's a group of zombies coming up so I have something to do. But I did find myself enjoying those quiet moments. They were one of the best things about the game. And,
oh no.
I wonder if that was just something to do with the storyline as well, that time's passed and you just don't see them in the same way that you used to when things first started. So I was okay with that because it ended up meaning that you were doing some exploring or checking out the site, whatever it may be, or having a conversation in your own head or with somebody else. So
I guess like my concern with it was it kind of reminded me of stuff like 28 Days Later. And I'm sure there's a bunch of other movies that do this where it's like you start off and it's about the zombies, but then it's like, but the horrors of humanity is really what it's about, you know? And it's like, I don't know, something about that feels a bit cliche to me, but before we get into the story stuff, I did think the story was pretty strong overall. And I thought seeing it from two angles worked for the most part.
I thought they took some, well, let's not get into story quite yet. So getting back to the rope stuff, I've said this on the show already, the puzzle mechanics, finding safe combinations, breaking windows, stuff like that. Basically taking the ladder mechanic from the last game and planks and evolving that into something that was, to me, far more interesting and a new version of solving puzzles, because they didn't change too much about the game, which I like, and I usually complain about when games try to do too much that don't feel like natural evolutions of the game. This game took that same idea, improved it, and it led to all new puzzles, basically. And they're not super hard puzzles, but they are inventive enough that I think they are rewarding and interesting. So I think they did that extremely well. I think the designers, level designers, puzzle designers, should potentially, and maybe the technical programmers should be the most proud of their accomplishments on this game, because I think that stuff is really well done. And the guitar mechanic, I don't want to get into story yet. I liked it. I mean, I loved it, to be honest, at the beginning. I swear, when it first happened, there was so much effort put into that guitar and it kept popping up here and there. I was like, this is going to be, like, in my head, they are going to make you cry with this guitar at the end of the game. Those are the expectations. Like, whatever, something to do with Joel and, like, tying in a moment with a song, I thought I would literally cry. That, like, that would be the first time a video game has ever made me shed tear. And I thought that this guitar, this interactive way of doing that, was the perfect way to do that. And it didn't happen. I think it starts off strong, but again, it doesn't have a payoff that I was expecting. And again, this may be unfair expectations, but I feel like there was a missed opportunity with the guitar towards the end of the game.
Well, they do kind of.
Especially they're selling $7,000 versions of this replica guitar. Like, it's.
Well, like, whether they made you drop tear or not, I mean, they still, I think, tied that guitar in thematically. And it's like, you know, a thing that Joel taught her and that, you know, comes up throughout the game. Like, I think it's effective. It works. Maybe it doesn't get where you wanted it to go. But a couple of just quick mechanics to throw out that we haven't talked about yet. The melee and dodge thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
I guess I like it in the sense that it's just a quick reaction if I know I've got a lot of zombies around me. I did find I was getting swarmed by zombies more in this one, which I kind of liked. It made it feel a little more realistic and frantic. And mm-hmm. they, like, if you ran before in the other game, you could run away from things and really, like, gain distance to the point where you're kind of resetting a scenario. Where in this one, they followed you pretty fast, including the clickers. And I like that. And I liked tying into that group mechanics where it was clickers and enemies or human enemies in the same section, and like you could use them against each other. I thought there was a couple sections where that was pretty cool as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just gave you like a little more agility, a little more of an action feel. I like that. There was the silencer thing. I think we talked about that when
I was like in that. Their
state of play thing, but that was a nice addition. The crossbow. And crafting ammo was a nice thing.
Yeah, I agree. I like both weapon sets, like how each character had their own kind of weapon set. I thought that was really cool.
Yep. And I did like that they got rid of the shiv for Ellie, but I wish that Abby also had that option, but oh well.
I thought she does.
What? She has to craft them.
Yeah, she has shivs.
Yeah, I'm saying I.
Oh,
like
get rid that. Of. Oh, okay, okay.
How Ellie doesn't, or I mean, Ellie does not have.
She's Joel though. She's got to have them.
But are the horses new?
No, the horses in the first one.
Oh, okay, okay. I would like to talk a bit about the UI, and it's pretty unchanged from the first game, but in the first game, did they do the same sort of thing where you had multiple weapons tied to like the left D-pad and then additional ones tied to the right D-pad?
Yeah, you had to hold square and like if you could only have so many equipped and expand your holsters and you had to switch them.
Okay, because in this one, I felt it was good, but I felt once I got over three on one of the left or right D-pad, I felt like the game was really sluggish when you needed to get to the next one. And a lot of the times when I just wanted, like, let's say I want my shotgun instead of my bow and arrow because I'm in a close-up area, if I was in any sort of stressful time where I was trying to do it relatively quickly, I found that the switching, I felt like not that the mechanic was bad, I felt that the actual like UI was slow and I couldn't lock into the proper weapon fast enough to make it like it made it more frustrating for me than just them trying to like add this tension. I found
it is a bit clumsy. It was clumsy in the first one. It's definitely intended, right? Like you can't just, well, even though they are in your back, they're all the same. I don't know why it's that much better, but it is like a risk reward scenario for which guns you bring in.
I understand that. I just found it, like you're saying, just a little clunky, a little clumsy. And I felt, even though I understand that it takes you a little longer to switch them out, it just felt like a lot of the times I was switching to the wrong weapon almost because the UI felt delayed or something like that. I don't know if anyone found that, but it was a little frustrating for me.
Yeah, you might be right about that. It didn't stand out to me as like a huge issue, but I feel like I maybe had a problem with it a few times.
Anything else mechanics wise?
I have a few, okay. But I've talked a lot, so if someone else has anything.
Yeah. Scott, did you feel like it was that? Did you finish the original? Did you feel like it was a big change, or were you kind of, how far removed were you from the first? Like, did it feel like a new experience or a continuation? Oh, we might have lost Scott. He's frozen. There he goes.
Okay. Well, until we get him back, I could just mention that I felt like, just to add to the just the overall immersion of the game, how much NPC dialogue and barks and talking and just like reaction to things that are going on in combat. Like if you shoot someone, they're like, "Hey, where's Fred?" or whatever, you know, like it's, "Hey Fred, where are you?" kind of thing. Like they're reacting and it feels very lifelike, very living world. Not many other games have kind of captured it as well as The Last of Us 2 did in this version. And to tie into sort of that whole immersion is just the animation system is so good in this game. I can't even emphasize it enough, because you have all the technical stuff we've kind of mentioned before about like the water on their backs and like dripping off and all that stuff. But then just the fluid motion, like Dwyer was talking about, where you get shot, you fall down on your back, and all of a sudden you're instantly into a combat scenario. It's just so realistic, and not many games have done that. I don't even know if any games have done that. Usually you have to get back up to your feet to get into like that standard combat mode, and this doesn't do it. I don't know, does any games like Modern Warfare do this sort of thing where...
Not too much. Uncharted's the closest that I can think of where they took the aiming mechanic of the first with cover and then applied it to scaling up walls vertically, to the same thing underwater, but that's not even quite the same thing. It's like shoot... That's still modes of shooting. It's not... But they're pretty good at, you know, transitioning between aiming and idols and walking and stuff like that in any scenario.
Yeah, and with that, with the movement animations, I never got frustrated like getting stuck on anything. I never felt like climbing over anything was clunky. Everything was super smooth all the time. And I think that's really I think they put so much work into that that doesn't even show. I don't see how, you know, that's a hard part of games, getting the character movement set to be so smooth in every situation. You know, you could be walking backwards, forwards, you know, kind of sideways. Everything is just silky smooth, and it's really impressive. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people would even notice it because it is so good. And I think just like this game is just really good technically. So
yeah,
so
I mean, getting into some more of that stuff, we talked about like foliage and how good that looks. Another thing you talked about on a previous episode, Andrew, which is interesting as well, is water. And underwater specifically being extremely murky and feeling more like when you're under real water, not like seeing everything perfectly, which, I mean, was slightly frustrating, but in an interesting way. I appreciated it, like the dirtiness of the water. Another mechanic would be the boat. Motorboat mechanic, which I thought was pretty good, and I'm glad there wasn't too much of it. It felt like kind of the perfect amount of using that boat, and I liked that section. Although it kind of replaced, and there weren't too many generator moments, which that was like a great moment in the first game. Like your engine stalls with the boat, but it doesn't really lead to like distracting you or anything like that. But there was another section in the boat where there's like a suspended train or something like that, where you can snipe into another building. I thought that area was very cool. Very well done.
Yeah. Just two quick points on some of the stuff Huck said. So the people like shouting out the names of the people who died, like it's a good touch. It obviously ties in again to the theme of, like, you know, you're reminded every time you kill someone that, hey, these are actual people, not just faceless enemies. But it got to be a bit much. Like, almost every single person you kill, it's like, hey, not Henry, hey, not Jim. Like, it's like, okay, I got it. I don't know, I got a little tired of it. And then you were mentioning about climbing and how fluid it is and everything, and I agree, but the one thing that is weird with this game, and, you know, I guess it comes up more in, like, the Seattle area because it feels open worldy, but you do come up across stuff where you think, oh, I should be able to climb this, but then you can't. And it's like, you know, it doesn't feel like the whole world is, like, open for you to, like, because it is a very linear game for the most part. So there's always little things you come up to where you're like, oh, I should be able to go this way and I want to explore this corner of the world. But no, you can't because they haven't set it up for you to climb it or something like that. That's where it kind of breaks the immersion a little bit.
Did you find a lot of those spots, though? I didn't find that many.
Not a ton, but yeah. I mean, I guess that's the problem, is when something feels so good and then you're kind of in that zone and you're immersed, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hit something that doesn't quite work. But, you know, not a huge deal.
Sorry about the problems, by the way. But the one little thing that I like, because I enjoyed it, pretty much wall to wall, was the repetition of the takedowns, of the stealth kills, the assassinations, etc. That motion, for example, with Ellie, with the sticking the knife in the neck, the same gurgling sound, the same animation, it gets a little tiring, especially when you're doing an easy difficulty and pretty much you could stealth almost everybody. And that's what I would do. I would just go to the area and pretty much stealth probably 99.9% of the people, and you'd get the same animation each time. And with the Abby one, with the neck breaking as well, I understand it's hard to do 10 different animations at that point, but that was one thing, was a little repetitive.
Yeah, I wonder if that's almost like intentional in terms of, again, thematically, because they want you to feel the brutality of it over and over again. Like, maybe you could have had more variety in the brutality, I guess, but
I think there is a bit of a gameplay element there too, of predictability. I think they do, like, in both games, you know when you're done something, right? When you get a lot of animations, it's not as obvious when you can move on to the next thing or how long something's going to take. So you need to know how long that kill is going to take so you can move on to something else, or if there's an enemy approaching. So I think that would be their, you know, excuse for keeping it very similar all the time. But I hear what Scott's saying, for sure. Especially after playing the first one in such close succession, it felt like a lot of the same stuff. And I do think the game is a bit too long. I think it could be shorter. I know we've talked about this before, but recent blockbuster games feeling this need to be at least 20 hours or 30 hours, especially when your focus is storytelling, even the elements we're talking about, the impact of violence, there is an opportunity for, even what Scott's saying, the repetition and maybe being longer, you think, oh, maybe it's a bigger statement about violence because you're doing it more, and it is becoming a grind to do that. And it's almost, I'm sure someone would take what I'm saying and turn it back and say, yeah, you don't even think about killing by the end of this game. You're just so used to it. You become a killing machine. Like, you become so numb to violence that's what the game is about. But I was numb to violence the first time I killed someone in this game because I've played 100 video games and I've killed a million things, and I can separate real life from video games. So you have to transcend that element and add something new to get me out of that mode. And the game does not succeed at that. Sorry, I'm going to cough. Oh, God.
I thought you guys bought high-tech cough buns over there. What's going on?
It was coming on too strong. I was too angry. I'm too fired up about the story elements.
I think, you know, in terms of the length of the game, it did drag on a bit for me. And I was thinking about it in terms of, you know, because we have been saying, like, hey, why does every AAA game have to feel the need to be 30 hours? And I think there's different types of games, obviously. Like, I think for a big open world game, like the Assassin's Creed games and stuff, it makes more sense. Like, they're set up more that you jump in, do a couple things, and then leave for the day. But when you're into this story and it's pretty linear and you're feeling the ebbs and flows of that story and you want to get to the end because you want to review it. It really is like, I mean, by the end, I was like, just end already. And that's unfortunate. Maybe that was how I was playing it because I just wanted to get through it for some reason. And maybe somebody else wants to take their time and savor it. That works. But it did feel like a lot of false endings where it's like, okay, we're about to wrap up. And then, oh, but there's actually like two more chapters still.
Now, to add to that, this is not quite storytelling stuff, but the visual pacing is my favorite thing about Naughty Dog games. So, and this had some, I think it's their best visually paced game with variety to all the locations, whether it's a flooding city, the burning village, which looked amazing. And just, I mean, the forest at night with torches, like different ways of using lighting and color with lighting to make every place feel different. Even revisiting something like the aquarium, multiple times and putting a slightly different spin on it based on season and lighting and time of day. Like, those are big wins for me. And I think that's amazing. And that's, I mean, personally, the locations they choose in this game are so memorable that I think is up there for my favorite thing in the game. The aquarium, yeah, the museum,
the stadium,
all that stuff. Like, you go through it really slowly. So they're definitely playing like, well, we're building this whole asset that, you know, looks amazing. We have to use it so many times or for a certain amount, or it's not really, really worth it. Right. And I'm glad they do, because I think those locations are fantastic. And out of all the games I've ever played, I think this one has the most memorable locations out of anything. Like, I kind of remember, the auditorium, the theater, I think is excellent as well. And the theater, I mean, we talked about designer brain before. The first time you walk through the backstage of the theater, there's all this stuff to like crouch under and go around. I'm like, this feels like a place where I'm going to have a fight immediately. And I, you know, you get that sense in the first game too, where you walk through the hospital and there's bottles everywhere and all this stuff, and I'm just exploring, like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna come back through here and fight. Well, the back of that backstage at the theater, I'm like, oh, okay, this is where something's going down later, because it's set up like a fighting area. But I mean, that's designer brain. It's amazing. It kind of ruins things.
About the sky bridges? I love
those. Oh yeah, too. I mean, the Ferris wheel is part of the aquarium too. When you swim in the ocean, like the rough water and stuff like that, I think that's probably an addition or an adaptation of a system from Uncharted 4, which I also had great like ocean and deep water swimming. But that stuff is just phenomenal. So much. I don't even remember the story. I mean, we're starting to bridge into story here, but I remember locations, character, and story in that order when I think about The Last of Us Part 2, which I think is a good thing and a bad thing. Like, the best locations ever, I would probably say, I'm bridging into story just so we know, and we'll get into other stuff, but character wise this game is amazing. And I know we talked about like really liking the characters from the first one. I think The Last of Us 2 is even better in terms of character, and the reason I say that is, even in the first one, I mean, everyone said it. You look at Ellie, and she's kind of an Ellen Page clone or something like that, right? And so often, video game characters are just, you know, what's the word? I'm like avatars, or like inspired by real life people. And you can see the influences of the concept artists when they were designing the characters. I really feel like the new characters in this game felt wholly original. I was not thinking, oh, this is kind of like someone else or anything like that. These are unique characters. Like Abby, Lev, is it Dina? Yeah, Dina.
Yeah.
All of those characters, some of the Rattlers towards the end of the game, like, they all felt extremely unique. I'd say the closest one was Owen, who kind of felt like a... Who plays Iceman and other stuff. Like, he felt a bit like a generic character. But other than that, I was not thinking, oh, this is their version of this. Like, they felt like their own characters. And I thought that was amazing. Like, Abby specifically. I know, like, that was a big point of contention, that you're playing as Abby. To me, that's the most interesting thing in the game and the biggest success of the game, that I love the character of Abby, and I thought she was great. And even though I love Joel as well, he was still there in story and in spirit towards the end of the game. But the only cutscene I really remember, well, there's three probably, but not always for the best reasons. The Joel death was an amazing cutscene. Like, that was brutal and effective and so well done. And then now you mix in this character of Abby, and we talked about this pretty early in the game. You're getting this idea of flipping back between two characters, which was started in Left Behind. And I love that. And I mean, I've said it before, when you have that and your story's about violence, the ending is such a failure to me. And like, who's to say? Like, I don't know why it's become... I know it's because of sequels and beloved characters and all that stuff, but the biggest missed opportunity of this game is how violence is handled in the end of the game. And I'm sure they would say some message about hope or something like that, but I really felt like you should have decided who you play as in the final fight. Like, who? If both character is, like, a human, and I've played as both... Forcing me to be Ellie in the final fight felt like a cop-out, for sure. Like, I thought I should be deciding who fights there, or, like, some really gutsy storytelling or other ways to approach that. If you want to talk about how the futility of violence and if it really solves anything, the idea of adding the Rattlers at the end of the game, if they would have just killed them both... Like, all this time and emotion, leaving your life and what seems like a happy point in your life for revenge and some other reason, guess what? You both die. What a pointless thing to do. I just thought the ending was the worst possible ending out of all endings I could imagine for this game. Anyway, let's go off into story. I've got a lot more to say. I'll let you go.
And saying that, does that not leave it nicely open-ended for another one?
And well, that's all I thought. I'm like, this is about sequels, not about ending this game.
Which is exciting, though, at least knowing that how good this game was and knowing that you do have a possibility of two good characters still to proceed. Not an ideal ending, a little anticlimactic, but in saying that, it's open-ended for us to enjoy the next game.
Yeah, which I think... At that point, when you're that good at creating new characters, by the time I was done Uncharted 4, I wanted to play as Drake's brother in the next one. I thought he was a nice kind of, you know, scoundrelly version of Drake that could have his own game. And Naughty Dog's so good at coming up with characters, like to me, the power move would be to kill them both or to kill another major character and be like, look, we're going to come up with another character that's just as good or compelling for another version of this story. And that is a statement on violence. The character you love and have played through two games, like Ellie is probably like such a strong character. And I personally really like the character, probably more so than most video game characters. And if your game's about violence and being fueled by it and how toxic or how the terrible cycles that creates, there's got to be a consequence to that, I think. And that when it's an interactive story, they just missed insane opportunities to say something about that.
There is a consequence for Ellie because she throws away everything.
I think in my
perspective, I think they actually... If they would have left it just with Tommy coming back saying, we got to go, and her saying, no, like, I'm done. Like,
yeah,
I agree. Already closed that. and then you just leave the whole Abby thing that she escaped to Santa Barbara, wherever she went, and just leave it like that. I think that would have been a perfect ending. Instead, they wrapped it back up and then didn't really even conclude it. They just kind of had them go on their own way. And I think it kind of ruined the ending because you think there is going to be a conclusion. And then Ellie throws away everything for this, you know, this bloodlust she has. And then, like, after wiping that entire camp out and then seeing Abby in, like, shambles and then choosing not to finish the job, like, why did you even do all that? Why did you leave Dina? Why did you leave the kid? Why did you leave that farm? Like, you had it good. And all about this bloodlust that she just gave up, it seems like the story took a step back, and it would have been, what, 3 hours shorter? And it would have been a nice closure. And who's to say that you can't have a sequel with that ending, where maybe Abby comes back after Ellie or something, after she finds something else? I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's forced. I agree. And talking about questioning character motivations after going through all that, and, like, not to mention just the, you're in this world, you're always putting yourself at risk. I start to feel, you know, less concern about what was a dangerous world in the first one. Like, oh yeah, why not just go halfway across the country or whatever and go look for one person? Because, like, it just seems ridiculous at that point. And I can kind of get it at the beginning of the story when you go to Seattle, but if that character has learned anything at that point, like, it just feels like you said, Huck, so tacked on. And I've said this 5 times already, but I'm going to say it again. Such a missed opportunity. There could have been so many cool things with the end of that story, and it took the lamest version of it completely. And, like, when you're on that farm, it looks so amazing. It's one of the best. That's another location that is absolutely amazing in this game that I will never forget. The skies look ridiculous. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to leave. And this, if anything, this story failed to make me believe that she was that compelled to get revenge at that point. Like, I didn't see why it was, like, just be like, it, like Huck said, it's over. Like,
yeah. Especially since Abby had literally let her live. That was the second time.
Yeah.
Cause she let her live after Joel's death. And then she let her live after after she broke her arm and shit in the theater. Like, just give it a rest.
Yes.
Like, Abby obviously doesn't want to kill you. She is the better person. And you just, and Ellie just can't let it go for whatever reason. Like, I don't know why she can't get through the Joel thing.
And this is an interactive story. So add on top of that, I've experienced both sides of the story, and I think it's done.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of my take on the story too, is that I really liked it, and I thought that final chapter didn't need to be there. Like, seeing both sides of the story, having to play as the person that's been your enemy for the first half of the game, and then come back around, and then now you're hunting Ellie. Like, that's a mind fuck to me. And that, like, that final showdown of having to actually try to kill Ellie, I thought that was pretty effective. And then, I really liked the way things wrapped up. I loved that moment where Tommy comes in and is like, we got to go back. And it's like showing that sort of the viral nature of wanting revenge. And it's just keeps going, and that cycle of violence keeps going. But I just didn't feel that it didn't make sense for her character to go back. And on top of it, you know, the whole game is about, you're constantly seeing the other side, because with the scars, eventually you start to get to know them and their story. And then that final scene, now you're fighting, I guess, what are they called? The Rattlers or something?
I think so, yeah.
Yes. And they're just faceless enemies. You don't get to see their side of the story. So it just feels like you're throwing away this whole thing you've built, which is like you're constantly having to think and empathize with the other side. And then they just have this final chapter because it's like, well, we can't leave it that Ellie didn't, you know, wasn't the hero and didn't finish what she set out to do. It doesn't feel satisfying. So we got to have something.
And that's the thing. I felt she would have been more of a hero if she said no at that point.
Yeah. I think so.
And would have shown her character growth.
Yeah.
And maybe the point is that they just want to hammer home one last time, hey, like the cycle of violence and the revenge thing, it just never ends. But I just wasn't convinced, you know, like maybe if there was some way that they could have, like, I like the idea that she just has that little bit of guilt eating away at her. But
that's why she should have died, or both of them. Like, you go for that one last thing. You just, like, it's so much better if you die.
Let it go.
Yeah. Like,
do you think they had the idea of a trilogy in mind? Something like that?
Well, I'm sure they're thinking about what the sequel to this is going to be for sure. I don't know if they're. I did read an article. I don't remember even the things in the article about other possible endings, or that it was going to be more depressing or something like that. And even the version in the article, I'm like, that's still a failure. Like, you still haven't nailed this ending. And I know it sounds weird, but I think that there's possible endings that are obvious. And the only reason why they're not there is for sequels. And yeah, like that to me is, when you're saying you're the next level of storytelling and the pinnacle of narrative in games, which I think people say, and I think Naughty Dog thinks that about themselves, you're failing, because no movie would end the way this movie ends, in my opinion.
I will say the final sort of flashback scene between Ellie and Joel, you're talking about dropping tear, Frank. I mean, I didn't drop tear, but it was probably the most emotionally invested I can think of being in a video game to date. And I thought that ended really strong. But yeah, I mean, I guess like overall, I still really liked it. I just feel like they dropped the ball with the ending. And I did want to bring up one other thing.
Okay, but let's take that opportunity too as another ending. Maybe I would have dropped tear. In that case, when she's thinking back on Joel and how Joel has become this father figure and they're essentially a father-daughter relationship, which mm-hmm. I think the story does really well at the beginning of the game too, where like there's that confrontation in the town and like Joel sticking up for her, but there's like this kind of awkwardness and stuff like that. I thought that stuff was great. Put yourself in Ellie's shoes. Would Joel have wanted her to go and avenge his death? I don't think so at all. He would have seen she's happy and been like, you know, that's it. Like, so to come to that kind of conclusion on her own in that flashback or something, to me would have been emotionally way more effective and thematically relevant.
Put that right after.
Yeah.
They could have put that right after the farm, and I think it would have had the exact same effect and proven why she's not going after Abby.
Yes.
And it would have been the exact same.
And then play a song on the guitar and I tear up and case closed, boom. And you should have played, like, if there's one thing I think is the small thing that is my favorite thing about Last of Us Part 1, and Sean, you recently finished it as well, when that game's done and we talked about it already, the end music kicks in, like, it's amazing. That's mm-hmm. exactly. You should have played the end music on your guitar and gone right into the credits and like just started strumming it and boom, like, oh my God.
One of the best video game endings, I think, for the first Last of Us. So,
yeah. And it's the only thing I will say is I do like the Santa Barbara area. I like the look of it. I love the silencer machine gun, the Sicario vibe. That stuff's all cool, but it's a failure to the story.
So the only other thing I wanted to bring up personally, and this is, you know, it sounds like we're all saying we all like the game quite a bit, maybe with some nitpicks and some flaws here and there. Now, there's obviously a lot of people out there that seem to dislike the game, and I know there's various reasons for it. Seems like, you know, some of it's just political stuff. You know, some people don't like that they killed Joel. Some people don't like that Ellie's a lesbian. Some people don't like that there's a trans character in here. That's bullshit. But the thing that I think is maybe a valid criticism, and I'm curious what you guys think about it, there seems to be this question of, is the game fun? You know, because it's so brutal at times. There's a lot of long sequences of walking and talking where they're telling the story. And I find myself, as I was playing it, I was questioning that sometimes. Like, I felt like I got to get through this thing, but, you know, am I having fun at this point in time? And it's kind of that weird thing where it's like, okay, you think about it compared to movies, like not every movie is quote unquote fun, you know, like there's movies that are exploring serious issues and you're learning something from it. You're empathizing with someone, you're going through a journey. It's not necessarily about just having thrills. But then I'm thinking about games and I'm like, but are games different because you're playing it, you know, like you kind of want to feel like you're having fun and you're engaged on a mechanical level as opposed to just, but at the same time, I feel like this game is an experience that that will stick with me because it was grueling in certain ways. So I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Scott, why don't you chime in here? Cause you're kind of like outside of the gaming sphere.
Yeah, like I think you hit the nail on the head, though, when it comes to movies, for example. A lot of movies aren't fun to watch. They're hard watches, but you can still find enjoyment in the story and the mechanics of it all. I mean, I guess it's fun to be able to see what's going to happen next on this adventure. And I think it's fun to see what images come up next in the game, what enemies you might have to fight, etc. It was hectic and stressful at times, but you know, I guess that can be considered fun in its own right. So some of the images and violence isn't fun, but yeah, that's subjective, I guess. I don't. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it's worth, so I guess that's fun in its own way.
Yeah.
I mean, for the film thing, I actually think it is fun, and I think I'm giving the game the benefit of the doubt a little because I played so much of The Last of Us 1, even though I tried to time it out to give myself some space, but it took me so many playthroughs. I was kind of burnt out on Last of Us gameplay, but I think The Last of Us gameplay is really strong, and I think it has amazing risk-reward elements with economy and like how you approach situations, and that's the foundation of the gameplay, and you're kind of building up based on moments. I think it's moments that kind of tentpole this foundation of very strong gameplay. And I think the moments overall are really good. And as I said, I think the moments in this tend to be visual. So it's the closest thing to memorable cinematography in a game, if we're making a film analogy, that I think this game has. And I think we've talked about locations and the farm at the end. I think all that stuff is like things you don't typically see in games that make them memorable. So The gameplay on its own is very solid, and you have all this other stuff. And in the first game, I mean, the moment, I wanted to get into this, is the giraffe moment, right? And I think this game doesn't quite hit that level and almost succumbs to its own like expectations in having two giraffe moments, as far as I'm concerned. The zebra moment and the seal moment are like mini giraffe moments, and the fact that they're both animals was kind of lame to me. Like, I definitely, as soon as I saw a footprint in the mud, I'm like, it's a zebra. I knew exactly. Like, I looked at the color of the background.
I'm like, animal footprints.
I'm like, what animal is going to appear so as such a visual contrast to this environment? And I'm like, it's a zebra, 100%. And I nailed it. I'm telling you right now, I knew it was a zebra right away. And I liked the seal moment. I liked the zebra moment, but it felt like, okay, we're trying to get our giraffe moment back again. And I love the giraffe moment. I love it. And it felt like, you know, a lesser version of those. But I mean, I said this to Sean. They wrote themselves into a corner. The ultimate moment in this game would have been walrus clicker. I want a walrus clicker boss fight. And when you start getting into aquariums and stuff like that, to not have animal clickers and stuff like that felt like that could have been incredible. I thought they were going to, the moment to do was to take an animal and now like flip it into an opponent that you might not want to kill, that would just be incredibly visually stimulating as an enemy. And I know they probably couldn't do it because animals don't seem to be affected by this. But that could have been so good. Anyway, that's my own thoughts. Huck, what about you?
I think it's fun, but I think it will get less fun the more replays you do of it. Because for me, I think the majority of the fun was exploring this new world, being immersed in it so completely, and never really knowing what's around the corner. I think we talked on a previous show how I felt like there was less combat, but it was more tense, and they did a lot more like suspenseful atmospheres where you don't really know if there's going to be combat or not. It wasn't as obvious in the first one. We're like, oh, there's bottles lying around. Definitely going to be some dudes here I got to kill, right? It wasn't as straightforward as that. A lot of areas they had sort of combat-looking things set up, and there was nothing. And I found on my second replay, knowing that more, like especially in the open world of Seattle, knowing where stuff was, I was able to just kind of run through that a lot faster. It didn't have quite the same impact that it did the first time. And the same with some of the other areas, like the TV station. Like, okay, I know all the way up the first time, there's going to be nothing. So I don't really have to do anything here. I don't have to search for anything. I just kind of run up, hit the door at the end, and then come back down. And I think that part is not going to be as fun, even if I have to replay it on Survivor again, even with the increase in difficulty. But I think for me, that fun was the exploration of this world and just feel it feeling so real, which is something you don't get everywhere else. So I think long term, will this game be considered fun? I don't think so. But I still think it's an experience everyone should have because it's incredible in that regard.
I think it is fun. I do.
Well, the mechanics are really solid, like you said. And I do agree that having those mechanics, if they were sloppy, it would definitely not be fun. But I think they're so polished that it definitely doesn't take away from the game at all.
I will say this. You talked about the scars or the Seraphites, Sean. I thought that element to the story was a little underwhelming. Like the woman they're worshiping and stuff like that. I felt like I wasn't really understanding who that was or how that
the
happened.
Prophets?
Yeah. Like I felt like I was missing something with that part of the story.
I thought for sure there was going to be some sort of reveal where Lev and his sister were
Yara.
Yeah. Yara were their daughters or something, or part of their family or something like that.
Yeah, I almost feel like I'm missing something with that. But at that point, like, the game was getting a little long. I was a little tuned out to that part of the story. I just appreciate it, like I said, more from a visual standpoint of their villages and the burning sections, which I thought were amazing.
That part with Abby, I don't totally buy her motivation from that she is so like bought into Lev because she was being strung up and then Lev saves her. And I find it hard to believe that in all the other situations, all the other shit she's gone through, there's never been a situation where like one of her friends has saved her. Maybe not in quite such an extreme situation, but you know, there's got to be areas where some of the other people in her group have saved her life. And I just found that she was so tied to Lev after that. Didn't totally ring true to me all the way.
Yeah.
It made sense, but it was a bit of a stretch.
I think they're hoping, like in some ways, that you're grafting a Joel Ellie relationship onto their relationship as well, which I guess I kind of did, but I still liked it. I thought all the character stuff was very good. I will say, if we're still talking story, cutscene wise, they're very technically proficient. I don't know if the dialogue and what's happening in the cutscenes is all that memorable. I mentioned the Joel death, and there's a few moments here and there that are like very good for video games, but I still don't know if I like, oh, that's a good line, or that's very good writing. It just kind of felt like it was just moving the story along, if anything.
I mean, I thought the cutscenes were really good, and I mean, I don't know, I just... you know, I found, even though there was a lot of them, you know, a lot of games, you sit and watch cutscenes and you're like, okay, get me back to the action. This one, I wanted to know what was happening next. I was invested. For me, the parts where it dragged was sort of the walking and talking stuff, where it's like you're walking slowly just so you can get through some more dialogue. And
there was a lot of those parts.
Felt like it could have been trimmed a bit, maybe. But
I got, especially with Abby.
Pardon?
So I got to go in a minute. So okay. You guys can keep chatting. I'm going to check my notes one last time to see if there was anything important I had to get in here. But sorry, continue.
Well, we got to wrap it up then.
Yeah, I got a whole still list of stuff, but I can save it for maybe another show or something. Or
well, I no, we'll get into it. Let's do our star let's do our star ratings, and we'll get to some of Huck's other thoughts and just put a little bit of a tail on this thing.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I wanted to say, and I mean, I know, like I said, I know there's a lot of people that didn't like the game. I think there's people out there that genuinely had issues, like, aside from political stuff. And I'm curious, like, if people have stuff in the comments, I'd be curious to hear, because I don't totally, I going into the game, I was hearing things here and there on social media, but I didn't want to spoil it. So I didn't really read what people were saying about the game, but I want to know what the criticisms are, what the big issues with the game are, because I think it is quite good, very good.
And, even the political stuff that you were mentioning that people are, I think, just trolling or angry at the game with. I thought it was going to be a lot more, like, overt in the way it approached it. I thought, like, the way it was integrated into the story was really good.
Yeah, all the stuff with Lev was almost like, you know, it takes a while before you really catch on.
Yeah, it was perfectly done, in my opinion. Like, that was a great way to handle it. And I mean, I remember seeing stuff about controversies, and I thought there was actually some controversy about the way that was handled. But that was like, I was trying to avoid anything about the game. So I just saw snippets. So if I'm missing something with that, I'm kind of curious what it would be. I really haven't followed up on it, but I thought it was handled pretty well.
Yeah.
In an interesting way too. I liked it.
And like you said, the characters are amazing. Like I can't understand. Like, I know some people seem to hate Abby. I don't know if it's just because you've identified with one side for so long that you literally cannot empathize with the other side. But that's the whole point of the game. Like, that's what's amazing about it to me is, you know, even more than in a movie where you can empathize with different characters, in a game, you're literally playing as that person. You have no choice but to take on their
role. The fact that I loved Abby as a character by the end of the game is a huge success.
And I think how they tied it into the original also, which we didn't mention, her body transformation.
Yeah.
As a kid, before, you know, Joel comes to the hospital and kills her dad. And then after, she is just this beefed up soldier, like, ready for anything. Like, it's pretty incredible how they did that little bit of visual storytelling that, you know, it's very noticeable. But it they don't ever, you know, bring it. They don't ever state it explicitly.
Okay, we want to give star ratings then?
Yep.
Sure.
Scott, four kick and it half off.
Oh, I'm... Oh. Oh.
Sorry.
I'm going to give it a 5. Again, it drew my attention like no other video game has in a long time. And even without its or with its imperfections, it's still a 5 to me.
Sean, what were you saying?
It's 4.5 for me. I, you know, thinking about it, I'm like, would this be in like a top 10 games for me? And I'm like, does that make sense with a 4.5? I don't know. I feel like it's top 10 experiences for me. I don't know if it's in top 10 games, but I still really liked it.
I think I would give it a 5 as well. I also have like some issues with some of the story, but I think the gameplay is strong enough. The world building is incredible. Sound, which we didn't even get to, level design, the technical issues, or the not issues, the technical ability of the team, like all that stuff is so off the charts. I don't think I could not give it a 5.
It probably is a legit 4.75, But if I have to lean one way, I'm leaning to a 4.5. And even while I was playing, I'm so far removed from it that everything I'm saying in this review is positive, but I can remember playing it and like feeling like, okay, or like, what? This is stupid at times. And, you know, I cannot forget those moments when I do my star rating. But I did love the game. I just thought it was like, what's glaring is the missed opportunities to me, which seems so obvious.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to drop off. No, the only thing is, I don't know if the recording stopped.
It probably will. Should we just wrap it up?
Sure. We can just wrap it up.
It's been a while. Scott, thanks for joining us. I'm sorry there were some technical issues. I appreciate you sticking with us.
Thanks for
having
me.
Maybe you and I can talk Ghost of Tsushima one day if you finish that.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the plan.
I have platinumed it.
Of course you have.
This week, so not sure what the next game for me is. Talking about experiences as games, I think Death Stranding has got to be the next one.
I did start playing CrossCode. I'm enjoying it.
Should be CrossCode. Let's be real.
But
it should
like,
be CrossCode.
We're talking about, do games have to be fun, and what is a game as an experience? And like, to me, Death Stranding just reeks of all this stuff. Like,
You haven't tried CrossCode yet, bud.
That is true. I have not tried it. Okay. Well, I hope listeners enjoyed the first Game Junk review. I guess we've reviewed games before, but standalone review. Let us know in the comments what you think, and if you agree with our assessment of The Last of Us Part 2. Other than that, we'll be back next week with hopefully some big news. It's been pretty quiet. But thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Right. So Huck and I, we lost connection with Scott. Sean had to leave, but we ended up talking, so we figured we might as well record this, you know, get into some techgasms, some bonus techgasms at the end of the podcast, among other things. So Huck, you had a few unfinished thoughts. Why don't you get into some of that stuff?
So I'll start with the techgasms since you brought them up. Just like the water, which I was saying is pretty much a holdover, I'm pretty sure, from Uncharted 4, but like with a lot of things in this game, they're just so polished, specifically the part where Abby's driving the boat towards the aquarium and the motor cuts out and then she gets swamped. Leading up to that point, the storm is like slowly building. The waves are slowly getting deeper and deeper. The boat is going over bigger rises and falls, like just incredible stuff like that. And tying into that, when you're Abby,
can I add one thing to that? It was so good, and the waves looked so high and dangerous. I thought if you fell out, you died. Like, and I was like, I can actually swim in this ridiculous ocean water. It was so good.
Yeah, they did trick you a bit, because they do play a little trick where when you fall out and you come up for air, you're quite a bit closer to the aquarium.
Yeah.
And where you fall out. So they obviously like teleport you in game space closer, and then you get knocked over again, and then they teleport you even closer. So it's like a little trick they play, but it's definitely cool. And just like the rain and the mist and the haze in the game is just so well done. Lighting and weather in general. I mean, we talked about the skyboxes.
Oh. Well, the snowy morning is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
That's another location, like the snowy town at the beginning. And that morning after, I think, Joel's death or something, like, it looks so good.
Yeah. And I mean, even just the technical aspects of that, like the snow deformation, the water deformation on like the stuff floating on the surface, even like shallow ice will break where you walk. I mean, that's all from, like, Batman had that years ago, but I mean, this is just another level.
I have to chime in for Jay Cheel here, who was, we were talking about some of this stuff, and he thought an underwhelming part with the snow walking was, like, in the deep snow, the animation wasn't any different. Like, how you have to lift your legs out of deep snow.
I thought it wasn't it?
I didn't catch it.
Particularly?
So, I don't know. I know
they did that in some of the deeper water. Specifically, there's one building where Ellie drives into, and then you have to, like, move that pipe in order to access the chain, I think. Oh, wait, no. It's the one before that. And you could go up a staircase to something. And there's a section where deeper water she has to walk through. And she does play a slightly different walk animation. Hmm. So if Jay's listening, go replay that section.
Oh, you better be right, because you'll never hear the end of it if you're I mean, we talked about before, the sleeping bag. Oh, God, the sleeping bag. The hair, the braided ponytail.
Yes.
So good.
Even just like the stuff dangling off the backpack.
Oh, like, yeah, the tassels. Holy.
Yeah, the tassels. What else here? The bounce lighting. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like if there was two walls kind of at a right angle to each other, one was white and one had like the red bloody stuff on it. If you were to shine your flashlight onto the red, it would actually bounce onto the white and make the white look red.
No.
Which is, I don't know exactly how they did that. They may have done some tricks, but that's usually like something that happens when you ray trace a scene. That's not usually a typical lighting thing that happens. And that was incredible. I noticed that. I tweeted about it.
I did notice. I saw that. Anytime, I mean, this is typical for most games, but anytime there was a mirror and it was rendering to texture, my PS4 Pro would be humming pretty loud.
I did notice that sometimes in the mirrors, they would cut out parts of the hair. I don't know if you saw
that. No, I didn't see
that. Yeah, so only certain times. So it must have depended on what else was loaded. But certain times, Ellie had that little like tassel coming down her front. Sometimes that wouldn't render. Hmm. They would just cut out the hair in the mirror. So it was kind of interesting to see that.
Nice.
That's all I had for tech stuff. Although I did want to mention about the guitar. Have you seen any of the videos online of people playing songs?
No, I'm assuming that's like even the finger placement on the strings and stuff like that. I bet it's like a fully functioning guitar system. Oh,
it is. Like the touchpad's so sensitive that you can play each string individually.
Yeah.
Now people are doing it so fast in these videos. I don't know if they have some sort of special setup, because just how quickly they're changing the chords. They're not only like moving the right stick extremely fast. They're also using like R1 and R
to switch. Yeah.
To like switch the chord structure, whatever you call it. And like everyone needs to go and just watch some of these videos, because it is insane what people are pulling off. I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it so fast and so intricately on the touchpad. They must be using a keyboard or something. Like, I don't know how they would do it otherwise, but just the fact that they put that much effort into that guitar mechanic, someone's probably spent 3 years just getting that
perfect. Oh, yeah.
And if you look closely, like, her finger placement is the correct chords. Like, everything is in the right spot.
Can you hear what I'm playing right now?
No, I cannot.
I didn't know it would be coming through. It's someone playing Hurt, the Johnny Cash version of Hurt.
Oh, I watched that one yesterday. I went down a deep YouTube rabbit hole.
Oh, Nothing Else Matters? Let's check this one out.
Oh, I heard less of that one, too. Oh, yeah. Oh,
this is amazing.
But this ties into that. Another thing which we didn't get into in the review is just the sound design in general. We talked a bit about the people talking as you're coming up on them, but we didn't talk about like the whistling of the scars that they do when they notice you or when they notice something. And that's like their way of communicating. Just the music in general was great, I thought. Like gun sound effects, workshop sound effects as you're like cleaning the gun and like adding stuff. The
I forgot to talk about when you, like, they catch you off guard and you get attacked during a workbench and stuff like that. That was pretty cool too.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that was one moment we didn't bring up. That was actually perfectly environmentally story told, because I don't know if you remember, when you walk into that apartment, there's a whole bunch of water jugs. There's fresh tomatoes growing inside that apartment.
Fresh tomatoes? That apartment.
Fresh tomatoes. Yeah, everything. So it's setting you up to say that, like, something's up in this spot, and that one door is locked, right?
Hmm.
When you go in there, yeah. That's where they come from. Just incredible stuff. Yeah. I was surprised they didn't use that more often, actually.
Yeah, I guess they did do a couple times when you were, crawling. I talked about this before, too. Like, when you're crawling through a narrow passageway and something grabs you and you have to go the other way. I actually died a few times. I felt like it was a little punishing. If it was grounded difficulty and the checkpoint, like, I know there's really unforgiving checkpoints in grounded, I would probably snap, but it's okay.
The other one I noticed, similar to environmental storytelling through the music, was that one scene where I think her name was Nora. It's when you're as Ellie and you fall into the – it's in the hospital. You fall down where all the stuff is, all the spores.
Yeah.
You have a little encounter down there, and then you kind of have to chase her or find her. Yeah. That's before you beat her with the pipe. And before you find her, when you're just kind of exploring – you can hear her coughing, and her coughing leads you in the proper direction to find her, which I found really incredible. I mean, it's not really a technically challenging feat, but I thought it was a really amazing touch considering, you know, she was now infected with the spores and obviously suffering from it.
I didn't notice that. In terms of sound, I know we've talked about this before too, but the Take On Me guitar moment was like exceptional. Exceptional.
Yeah. I did see that, but
I can't believe Sean didn't find that. What a loser. He's even playing these games. Like, what's the deal?
I'm sure he's playing.
I know. Yeah, the guitar stuff, so cool. The music is really good, although I think I found the tracks more memorable. They're more bangers in the first one.
Yeah, probably. I thought this one was more subtle.
Yeah.
But I thought, like, the music ramp up and ramp down when you were in combat situations or when enemies were around, where it was really effective at making it feel tense. And the last thing on the sound is just like the lightning and the rain and the weather. Like, I could have sat and just listened to that game on loop because it just sounded so great with when the storms were coming through.
I did not have the same visceral experience with sound that you had playing this.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Were you playing with headphones? I know you were talking about moving.
I have to.
Yeah,
I can't hear. My PS4 is so loud.
Well, I mean, that definitely probably had an impact for sound.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's easy on the PS4, right? You just plug it right into the controller. It's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm running a cord or anything. Let's see. What else did I have here?
Level design.
Level design. I felt like they did a really good job of making it feel like you had more ways to go than you actually did. It made the game feel way more open. Most places had usually like two paths you could take that then joined up at the beginning or at the end. And they also weren't too bad. So if you are completely insane, like I'm sure you and I were, where you'd explore everything, you weren't wasting so much time going back to explore that second path, which was nice. A lot of times it's like super long and it takes you nowhere. And I felt this way, the way they did it, I thought was great. Let's see here. They had... this is where I had my note about the tomato plants, about how the just like the subtle storytelling of that room was really great. And just the way they build the world with the levels. I thought everything was great. Like the open world section, I think, was the perfect amount of open world. When I first got there and I was like, oh, no, we're going to have this big, giant world. It really wasn't that big. And I like how you kind of come across things as you explore, and they give you little hints, but they don't spell it out for you like in Assassin's Creed, where they put the marker down right away. You know, you can't just like get everything on the map kind of thing and go where you want. You have to sort of like pick up a clue here and there, and then go to those, and it kind of breadcrumbs you to the next one.
Well, I could definitely say when I started Ghost of Tsushima, I was really enjoying it right after Last of Us Part Two. And by the time I finished Ghost of Tsushima, it made me appreciate Last of Us 2 even more because it gets so repetitive. And I'm like, well, there was always something changing up. And like I said, the pacing is so good in Last of Us 2. It just sucks that they did not nail the story at the end. It's such a letdown. Because I mean, if I truly felt they succeeded on the theme of violence as a storytelling element, I mean, it's one of the best games ever at that point.
Well, one thing which I didn't get a chance to bring up was I actually thought the moral of the story was going to be don't judge a book by its cover, which seemed to be what they were going for the whole time. Like, you've judged it based on Ellie. Now here's the other side that you didn't see. And like now it might give you a little different perspective of why Abby killed Joel.
Yeah.
And might get like it might explain it to you. And
everyone has their own story, right? Like,
yeah. And then they go off on this whole other tangent at the end. Like, if they would have ended it like we said at the farm, that would have been perfect. And it would have almost been perfect for kind of today's political climate where everyone seems to jump to conclusions about everything. No one really looks at the other side of the story. And I felt like by doing that extra Santa Barbara part, it kind of muddled the waters of why.
I thought, you made a great point where I don't know. At that point in the story, I know everything about every character's kind of life, their motives. It felt like a very complete story. And then, like you said, you bring in the Rattlers, and now I'm like, I don't even know what their motivation is. I'm just assuming, am I correct in assuming that they're just evil or something like that? And
yeah, I think as far as I could tell, they're just basically doing whatever they can do to survive, and they've chosen a more militaristic style, I guess kind of more similar to the Wolves, whereas like the Scars are more live off the land. Jackson is more like kind of in between the Wolves and the Scars.
It feels more like a fragment of old society, right? Like just...
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... Yeah, the Rattlers thing is definitely a little weird. How they just threw it in there. I mean, I also enjoyed that section. I enjoyed the visual, like pacing of it and everything, and all the environments. But from a story point, it definitely was not needed, I don't think.
This game also, now I remembered something else, tries to retcon something that I had an issue with in the first game. And honestly, I don't think it's a great retconning. Why does Ellie have to die to provide a cure? That makes no sense to me. If it's a virus or something like that, they think it's wrapped around her brainstem, something like, then how can you cure that at that point? If what's causing this or what's saving, I don't know. It just seemed weird to me. Like, how can you not extract some element of this without killing her? And they tried to get in this thing about, we can't get it off her brain and all this stuff. And that just seems so bogus. Like, but that was always a huge issue I had with the first one. Like, and since when does viral stuff require death for like, and shit, I had another one too. That was very similar. Oh, why are they not just building why isn't this water world? From what I can tell, clickers can't swim. They won't go near the water. Like, just build a town on a huge wooden platform. Like with a moat or something like that.
Well, or why not just live on the island like the Scars did?
Yeah.
There were no clickers there or anything, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. It's a great question. Seems like a very safe place to be.
I'm not seeing too many clickers in the water. This isn't Alien 4.
Everyone's just like moved to Vancouver Island or whatever island the Scars are.
Greenland. Never mind.
It's a little cold up there in the winter, but, you know, Cuba might be a better option, or one of those Caribbean islands.
There's just a lot of real estate in Greenland.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't have too much else to say.
Yeah, I had I had one thing that apparently the voice actor Laura Bailey for Abby also did the voice of Faye in Binary Domain.
Oh, no so way.
She is obviously my favorite character.
Nice.
I just had to bring that up.
I did notice some, like when I was looking at the voice acting cast here, there was some interesting, I didn't know Jeffrey Wright was the character's name. I can't remember.
I don't know who Jeffrey Wright is.
Like from Broken Flower.
Oh, Isaac.
Westworld. Isaac, yeah. Yeah. He's in a lot of stuff. And
yeah, he wasn't in the game that much, but it's pretty good when he was.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I felt like there was something oddly familiar with Owen, but that was Patrick Fugit from Almost Famous, among other things. And
that guy did look familiar.
And Dina was an Shannon Woodward, who is in at least season one of Westworld. I've only seen season one.
Oh, yeah.
And she's pretty good, too. So, yeah.
I thought all the voice actors did a really good job, which we also didn't touch on.
But Jar Jar Binks, Ahmed Best, was also in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who is he? One of the Scars or something?
I'm not sure. I don't remember the character that much. Just additional voices. I think he does voice work now, but which makes sense. Yeah, cool. It was a great game. Definitely a game that is fun to talk about.
Yeah.
You can't have this lengthy of a conversation about a lot of games. So that's certainly a good thing about this game.
Yeah, there was one section I thought I was going to tear up was during the sort of like funeral part for Joel when Ellie goes back through his house and she's like walking through and she like, I don't know if you saw this, but you go past his jacket in the, she'll like smell it and stuff, mm-hmm. like even just like little things and all the little things like on his bed table, like there's like a space magazine and there's just like all these little nods to like things to show he's trying to like become better friends with Ellie and like to work his way back into her good books. And then you could just see like how she cared for him by like smelling the jacket and just like wanting that smell again, you know, just little things like that. Just such detail.
Yeah.
I did have, oh, the Skybridge part. I thought that was so well done. Because they build it up where basically the whole building is kind of in thick clouds. And then just when you get to like the highest point crossing over, the clouds part and you can see actually how high you are.
Yeah.
To really, really hammer home like her fear of heights, which we didn't even mention actually how Abby has that fear of heights that they go back to a bunch of times throughout the game, which I think they do really good. And they do this like field of view thing. I don't know if you noticed that. Where they like, whenever she's near an edge that's high, the camera, decreases the field of view to make it kind of like pull back and look higher.
Hmm.
And like, it's just like a subtle little trick that adds to the experience.
I forgot during that section, I thought for sure, I don't know if this is an intended fake out of the game, but it was me trying to think I knew what was going to happen and they totally faked me out because you had done the sniper portion with Ellie before. And when they're approaching, they just kept saying they never said the sniper like he's doing this, he's doing that. And I thought for sure the sniper was Ellie. And I was shocked when it wasn't.
Yeah. I actually was shocked. It was Tommy, but it makes sense. I didn't think it was going to be Ellie only because you had already played her part for that section of day. And she was never there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, logistically, it might not have made sense at the point I was doing it, but that's all I kept thinking because they kept really emphasizing he, and we haven't seen who it was. So I'm like, okay, this has got to be some kind of fake out.
Yeah, I actually had no clue it was going to be Tommy, but I was actually surprised, speaking of Tommy, that he wasn't dead.
Yeah. How was Tommy?
I thought for sure he got shot right in the head.
Yeah, me too. All right. Had to get one of those in there. Missed it on the regular part of the show.
Yeah, you did.
I think we're good to tie it up. Anything else?
No, I think that's good. Yeah.
All right. Nice. Well, little bonus conversation, and we'll see you soon. Bye, Hawk.
See ya.